Okay, we're picking up the last daf, Maseches Shabbos. We're on Kuf Nun Vav Amud Beis. We are the words of Ve'af Rabbi Yochanan Amar. So we were discussing again yesterday machlokas about with Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, with the far-ranging machlokas in Hilchos Muktzah, that Rabbi Yehuda is much more machmerged of what's going to be considered set aside, what's considered the purpose that you're allowed to use something on Shabbos, etc., etc. He is much more machmir and what is going to be mutter, and Rabbi Shimon is more mekel. So now we had the different Amoraim paskening like Rabbi Shimon, different Amoraim paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. So now the shaila is going to be within Rabbi Yochanan. Now the Gemara suggests Rabbi Yochanan or Lach Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan also paskening Lakula like Shitas Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara now says, Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan really say the Lachas follows Rabbi Shimon? Va'am Rabbi Yochanan Lachas Kastam Mishnah. He always says that Lachas follows the Stam Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah. And we don't know who authored it, and it doesn't say there's any Ashitas who are arguing. Clearly that's showing that that is, should be the Halacha, and therefore that should be how we paskin. It's not, and we learn in the Mishnah, in Mevakian Eitim in Akoros, you're not allowed to split up the wood from the beans for the firewood and Yantiv. And this Mishnah is referring to a stack of wood that had been set aside later, as she points out, for Binyan to do for building, which is obviously going to be set aside. Kliyas Shematul Isser, it's going to be used to build. It's not something that's Aser. Veloman Akoros, Shish Beyantiv, and so too, you're not allowed to use it. A bean that broke on Yantiv. So now this beam that broke on Yantiv, it's going to be, so since the beam broke, now it's no longer going to be used for binyan, obviously, because you know, you know, it was a broken beam, that's going to be pretty counterproductive. However, this beam wasn't ready on part of Yantiv, so therefore it's going to be something that's not readily that you had before as Yantiv to use for firewood or whatever you're going to use it for. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it was more machmir on Mukta. This is the Shita Lachor of Rabbi Yehuda. However, Rabbi Shimon would seemingly hold that this is okay. So isn't Rabbi Yochanan going to be against his rule? This is a Stam Mishnah, and this is reflecting the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And according to Rabbi Shimon, this should be mutter. So the Gemara now says, Rabbi Yochanan, Hahu, Ki Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Master, the Rabbi Yochanan does not consider that this Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. He rather learns that this Mishnah is rather the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, really, you should amend the Mishnah, say, end off with Dibrei, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it's not a Stam Mishnah. It wouldn't go against his rule of passing like the Stam Mishnah. So the Gemara says now, Tashma, we can bring another Raya, that there seems to be a Stam Mishnah which would be like Rabbi Yehuda. Maskilin ba'arimas hateven, you're allowed to begin stacking up the straw as if you want to use it to light up your fire on Yantiv, so you're allowed to do that. So now over here, avalo beitzim shebemukta, you're not allowed to use wood that you have shebemukta, is literally like in the back, in your Rashi says berachava acharei beiso, like what would you call like a backyard. So the living in the backyard area, the Mishnah seems to be the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, because over here, at the end of the day, is something that's infrequently used, and something infrequently used, according to Rabbi Shimon, that's not mukta, that's fine. It's not something that I don't have designated towards Isser, that's not going to be an issue. I could use it on Shabbos and Yantiv. So the Gemara says, really Shabbos here, because we're lighting a fire, so obviously only for Yantiv purposes. So the Gemara now says, Hasam ba'arzei va'ashuche. So over there, the wood is referring to in the Mishnah is Dafka talking about a chashev wood, which is Rashi says a very expensive wood, and therefore, meaning it was a cedar wood, that's our eras, right? It's a cedar wood. Ashuche is another type of also something with a cedar wood, is what Rashi says. So those two types of wood, the mukta makas chaseron kis, they're not mukta because you just simply didn't think you were going to use them and you left them in the backyard. Rather, mukta makas chaseron kis are extremely important. Is monetary. You care about it a lot. You miyuchad amakum because it's important to you and it's valuable to you. So that even afilu Rabbi Shimon moda. According to this, now we've introduced that even Rabbi Shimon is going to be moda to the halacha of mukta machmas chaseron kis. That something is going to be very valuable. Even Rabbi Shimon would agree that you cannot use that and not touch that on Shabbos. And where it says Tashma, can bring another ayah. In Mashkin v'shochtin in Amid Baros, you're not allowed to water and shecht a non-domesticated animal on Shabbos, because we assume that they're not, on Yantiv rather, keeps in Shabbos. And Yantiv, they're only allowed to do shechita and the malach of Havara for on Yantiv, not on Shabbos, obviously. So you're only allowed to shecht them on Yantiv, you're not allowed to shecht a non-domestic animal because it's not considered prepared for you. You didn't know you're going to get it and catch it and you haven't. Mashkin v'shochtin is a baisa, so every allowed to water up and shecht the domesticated animal. So this tamish, again, it seems to be following Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, this should be something that's okay. As long as it's not something which is mukta, I'm doing something for the Torah of Yantiv, it should be okay, even though I didn't think it might necessarily happen. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Stama Achrina Eshchach. Rabbi Yochanan had another Stam Mishnah, which is going to follow Shitas Rabbi Shimon. And what is that? B'chamei Omrin, Magbin Ma'al HaShulchan HaTomas HaKlipin. B'chamei said that you'll later remove the bones and the shells from the table on Shabbos by your hand and move them. That Beis Hillel says you're allowed to take the whole table and shake it up, but you're not allowed to directly touch these bones and things. Now, this is mukta machmas mil, something that's disgusting and repulsive to you. And yet, we see that Beis Shammai is mekel and Beis Hillel is machmir. And Rav Nachman says, wait a second, that's not the gear. So we had this gemara earlier. Remember, Rav Nachman, ein lanu ela, that Beis Shammai k'Rav Yehuda of Beis Hillel k'Rav Shimon. That Beis Shammai is like Rabbi Yehuda, he's machmir. You're not allowed to touch his mukta machmas mil, so Beis Hillel is like Rabbi Shimon, and he permits it. Since in this version, Beis Hillel is going like Rabbi Shimon, l'chora we should pass like Rabbi Shimon, and we're going to pass like Rabbi Shimon, even if we have a submission against that, because it's Beis Hillel versus Beis Shammai, we always go like Beis Hillel. There's really six exceptions to that rule, but this is not one of the six cases. So therefore, then we have a stam mishnah against that rule, and therefore, it's two stam mishnahs, we're going to go like Beis Hillel. That's what Rabbi Yochanan would answer. So the Gemara now says, another machlokas, pliki Rav Acha Ravina. Rav Acha Ravina discussed, chagamar b'chol ha-shabbas kula, halach of Rabbi Shimon. Of course, all of the Shabbos, all of Mukta, the var Mukta Machmas Meos, all halacha is going to be like Rabbi Shimon, except for the Mukta of Mukta Machmas Meos. It's something disgusting, and the halacha is going to follow Rabbi Yehuda, that it is considered Mukta, according to him. Who my neo, the Gemara now says, Neri Yasha, what's the example? That if you have an old candlelight, that Stavkar actually says, clay cheres, it's used like a clay type of material, because obviously using it for the main purpose is going to be usher to light it. That's something that's clearly usher to use on Shabbos. But even when it is for a different purpose, it's something that's disgusting. So it's disgusting. You shouldn't use it on Shabbos. They say even there is going to be lachal like Rav Shimon. Alvar mukta machmas iser, something is considered usher. The concept of migo diskutai bibein hashmas is kind of kuliyoma, that if something is usher bibein hashmas, like if you light a candle and it's burning on Shabbos, the beginning of Shabbos, since I cannot move that candle on Shabbos because it's a basis of davar usher, so I cannot move that whole thing through the rest of Shabbos as well. So that, we don't pass, Rav Shimon holds that you can move that. We're not going to hold like Rav Shimon, we're going to hold that it's usher. My new ner shaliko ba beosar Shabbos, that's what the example we just gave, the lighting of flame and lighting on Shabbos, that is a machlokas. Even though it's considered gone afterwards, it's still going to be usher because of migo. So if a mukta machmas chazer, in case of Rav Shimon moded, Rav Shimon is going to agree that we're machmer mukta machmas chazer. Kistis nan, as we learn in the Mishnah, kol hakelim talim b'Shabbos, all kelim may be taken on Shabbos, chutz mimasar agadol, except for a very large saw, which this saw apparently is something that you are machbid about, and you're not going to just move it around. V'yasir shem machashereisha, and Rashi describes it as a someone who's digging, he has this specific hoe or whatever it might be, something like that, to dig with, that is going to be mutvah chazer hirs, because you care about it a lot. So what's the right that this is for the shita of Rav Shimon? How do I know this is the shita of Rav Shimon? And how do I know that, because clearly it's usher to use mutvah chazer hirs on keys, those two things are usher because they are very, very valuable to you. But how do I know that this is Rav Shimon? Because it says, kol hakelim nitalim b'Shabbos. Right. That sounds like even if it's Malachal Isser, that is the Shitas Rabbi Shimon, that's not Rabbi Yehuda. So that's what Rashi points out. That's why it's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and not Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. And also there's one more halacha when the Gemara says, Pligi Bar Vach Ravina, that one said halacha b'kola Shabbos kula, it might be extending past the halachas of Muktzah. Many Rishonim wanted to understand that it's not just halachas Muktzah, but those two halachas, the famous machlokas about Davar She'ena Meskaven, the idea of when you do something and it's something that's not bound to happen. If I drag a bench, it's not going to create a fire in the ground necessarily. If I do something, I'm not 100% going to create a halacha. That would be mutter to do. That, or Rabbi Shimon says, is mutter, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's usher. So that is also, that's what the Gemara is saying, that Allah follows Rabbi Shimon. Everyone agrees to that. Also, Malacha Shinat Shechugufa is an insert of Raisa, insert of Manan. That also is Allah like Rabbi Shimon. I got there's some place in the Rambam, his mashpah, that he is choshish for Shidas Rabbi Yehuda, with regards to these two Kalachas, whether it's the Raisa, those two things. Either way, now continuing the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Mafir Nadarma Shabbos. You're allowed to annul a vow on Shabbos. If someone took a vow, actually says, to say, let's say, a Baal Ishto, a husband makes a woman rather, makes a neder, so we learn that the halacha is, that the Torah tells you that the husband, the day that he hears about it, is allowed to uproot it. So this is also, this is this concept, you're allowed to do this even on Shabbos. We're going to discuss this more further. Inshallah, and Darim, Mishen, the Torah, for Shabbos, also you're allowed to take away a neder that you've made, to do something on Shabbos itself. Rashi says, like, for example, you said you're not going to eat Shabbos meal. For whatever reason, you swore off that you're not going to eat Shabbos meal. So the halacha is that you can go to the Chacham and can be made for the Neder. Why, in general, would you not be allowed to do this? So it's a big shayla. Some Rishonim learn that it's a Tircha Yisir. You're going to go out of your way, go do this, and go to the Chacham. He's going to be matir and find a tether. Oh, take all your whole Shabbos. You're not supposed to be doing this on Shabbos. And other Rishonim say, no, this looks like din. It looks like a din of the Chacham to release you, so that's going to be why it's usher. So either way, the Mishnah says that these two examples are going to be mutter. Poking is some more, something seemingly not related to this halacha, but so you're allowed to to close a window on Shabbos. Over here, we're discussing it, that we discussed this really earlier, that the window over there was not attached. Rabbi Elazar discusses this right, Bone on Bimosef Alawel, Bimosef Alabinin. That was what the Gemara is going to discuss less of it, so, but the Gemara is going to discuss a little bit. Umodinim Asamathas, you're allowed to measure a rag on Shabbos to see whether or not it has the shear for Tumah, right? 3x3, Tvachav, 3x12, depending on what it is. That's going to be the shear. That you're allowed to do. Normally, measuring is going to be Aser on Shabbos because it's uvdin dechol. It's something that's a weekday activity, but for the sorach of a mitzvah, Chazal permitted it. So that's why it's mutter. Umodin is a mikvah, also the similar halacha is that you're allowed to check a mikvah to make sure that it has, Rashi says that there's three almost deep, one almost deep and three almost wide, to make sure it's going to have the 40 set to measure it properly. Umaisa, b'mei avishar, b'tzadik, b'mei avishal, b'bitnis, it happened one time, shepakos amar b'tafiach. They close a window with a tafiach, as a type of clay cheres, which is an earthenware type of material. The kasher is a mekeda begemi. They tie this clay cheres, this is an earthenware vessel, with reeds. And leida im yesh begiyas pasach tafach emlav, and the Rebbe of the Manash, and the Mekoshim of Shabbos. They wanted to check if they had the proper shear to open the barrel to see if there's going to be tumah there. So then they wanted to see, the Gemara is going to discuss exactly what happened. And from there we learn that you're allowed to close things on Shabbos and tie things on Shabbos in a non-permanent fashion, obviously. In those two cases, it's going to be mutter. Now the Gemara wonders on the Mishnah. The topic of the Mishnah, the Gemara asks, Ibailu, they had a question. Afara, bein latzorach, ubein shelo latzorach. To assume the lashon of afara, that the husband can annul the vow, is that for something that's only necessary for Shabbos or whatever it wants, whatever the husband hears about? The wife says that she's not going to eat on Tuesday night. She makes a nether. She swears not eating Tuesday night. The husband doesn't want her to do that, so he has a right. As I mentioned, the Torah tells you the husband's allowed to annul the vow. So is that a vow also, or is that something only applicable for Shabbos? So that would be why there'd be a difference. Why did the Mishnah separate the two lashonos? Right, the Mishnah says first the case of Mefirin and Shabbos, and also the Nishalim and Shabbos in two different clauses. Why don't you mention Mefirin and Nishalim and Darim? Like you just say it simply as one phrase. That would be a better way to say it. The Gemara says Odilma Afar Nami Letzorach in Letzorach Chodokla. No, on Dafke Afar also, but the husband and wife also things are relevant to Shabbos. If it's not relevant to Shabbos, you'd not be permitted to do it on Shabbos. But a couple of Gemara Dalis. So then, why does the Mishnah separate the cases as two different cases? The Gemara says, "Mishum dafara in tarach based in a shela tzurich basin," because there's a bigger chiddush. Hafara doesn't need any basin. The husband hears about it; he can be made for it. That's it. He ends it. He annuls it. It's gone. However, the sheela, you have to look for a pesach to see that you regretted it. You need a basin, and that obviously looks more like doing a din. And therefore, I would assume there's more reason to assume that you should be machmir in that case. And when I says tashma can bring a proof, this honey devei Rav Papa. So we learned in the Rav Papa, he had a brisa that said mefer nadar meshabes litzorech Shabbos. Clearly, that the Shabbos is only for Tzorach Shabbos, that is going to be the case. And where it says it's clear to you, but Tzorach Shabbos in Tzorach Shabbos, only if the actual vow had relevance to Shabbos, can you annul it on Shabbos. If it has nothing to do with Shabbos, then there's no reason to be annulling it on Shabbos. And where it says Lishnach, Brina, another way to say this over, Ibailu, so they ask the question, Letzorech Atar Vayu Katani, do we assume that the Mishnah is saying that they refer to both the cases and we're looking for both of them to be out, Shlo Tzorech Lo, but for not for any Tzorech of Shabbos, it's not going to be permitted? Alma, Faris Nadarim, Me'ez, Le'ez, in which we could say that doing Hafaris Nadarim, annulling the vows, is from the time that someone knows or full 24 hours later. That's the chiddush over here. So basically, the Gemara is gonna plan. Well, let's just finish the question. So now the Gemara brings in another factor to the whole shaila over here about the question. So the Gemara is just, let's just translate first, and then we'll get into the actual question. Mishnah says now, when we talk about what's necessary, that's referring to dafka, the case of sheila. However, afar sederim, when it comes to the vow that the wife made, that's going to be even now the tzorach of Shabbos. If she vowed not to eat on Tuesday night, you can even be made for that on Shabbos, and we can see that Shabbos is not going to go the entire day, the calendar day. So exactly, let's just take a step back and see what are we discussing. The Torah says clearly, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says that when the husband hears and he's silent over the neder, if he doesn't die for that day, that's it. It's too late. So even though she said, I swear not eating on Thursday night, for example, that's what the wife made the neder. She said, she weren't meeting Thursday night. So this was on Sunday. The husband didn't hear about it till Tuesday. So on Tuesday, when the husband hears about it, how long does he have? Does he have until Thursday? Because that's when the neder is over. Or does he have only till the end of that day? So the Torah clearly says, you only have that day that you hear about it. So the question becomes, so clearly everyone agrees that the pasuk says beferish. So you're not going to have till Thursday. The shaila is, within Thursday now, I heard about it on Thursday morning, do I have till Thursday night, at the end of that calendar day, the day is over at nighttime, that's right, when the day is over, or do I have a full 24 hours from that day I heard it, let's say again, I heard it on, an example, I keep forgetting where I'm holding now, but let's say I heard it on Wednesday, I have till Thursday morning for a full 24 hours to cancel it. So that's the shaila. That's the shaila, and that comes out with Shabbos also, because if I only have till the end of the day, so the husband heard about it on Shabbos morning, so it doesn't matter that the neder was relevant to Tuesday afternoon when she said she swears she's not eating it, she's not eating lunch on Tuesday afternoon with her husband. If he only has the opportunity to be made for it on Shabbos itself, then clearly you would be allowed to, because if the day expires by the taste of Shabbos, then when Shabbos is over, he no longer can be made for it, so you can't tell me that something that's irrelevant Shabbos, he can't do it. So the Gemara is saying that Tabah HaTalia, that these two halachas go hand in hand with each other. That if we hold that it's more than, that you have 24 hours, so then if you heard about it at 10 a.m. on Shabbos morning, then you have till 10 p.m. the next day. And if you heard about it basically any time after Shabbos starts, you'll have a full 24 hours. If you have to sever Shabbos, it'll be a shayla. Okay, either way though, if you heard about it, any time you have the 24 hours, you're not going to have a problem. So the Gemara now says, so which way do we hold? So if, in the Haba Atalia, if you have the full 24 hour period, we're going to say you're not allowed to be made for Nedarim on Shabbos. If you don't hold the 24 hour period, you're not allowed to be made for Nedarim on Shabbos. So Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a proof for this. The Tanei Rav Zutta Devei Rav Papi, what did he learn in the Braisa? May fear Nedarim on Shabbos, Letzorach HaShabbos. So the Gemara says, clearly, Letzorach HaShabbos in, we see from the Braisa, that being annulling a vow on Shabbos is going to be permitted. But if it's not necessary for Shabbos, it's not allowed to be done. Alma afaras nedarim meislay. We see that afaras nedarim, annulling of vows, is allowed to be performed for the full 24-hour period. That's what we see from over here. So the Gemara now says, Amar Avashi. So if that's the case, then you're not allowed to be made for Shabbos. The Gemara says, V'anan t'na'an afaras nedarim kol hayom. That what the Mishnah says, though, you're allowed to do it only that day. Meaning not the 24-hour day, the end of that day. And the Gemara says in the quotes that we say that that has a leniency and going to be a chumrah as well. It's going to be a stringency as well. What is that? Ketza neder leil Shabbos. If you make the neder, the vow on Friday night, make for leil Shabbos. And Shabbos is a tefach. So then you have the whole day till the next night. However, nejem plashech. What if she vows? She makes the vow an hour before the shkia, an hour before sunset. So then you only have till the shkia, till it gets dark out. After that, after that time, you only have an hour left, and that's it. Afterwards, you lose your chance. So that's the chumrah and the kula. So clearly, this Mishnah is telling you that you don't have the full 24-hour period. You only have till the end of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, tonight, really, it's a machlokes tanoim. Desadi afar zedarim kol hayom. One Braisa tells you that you have the entire calendar day. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Meisla, that you have 24 hours. So the Mishnah that we quoted is following the Shina of Tana Kama, where the Braisa is quoting Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudu. So how do we paskin? The Lacha follows that you only have until the end of the day. You don't have the full 24-hour period. And therefore, you would be allowed, the husband would not be made for a neder of his wife, even if it was something that's not relevant for Shabbos. And so therefore, because it doesn't have 24 hours, you'd be able to have a mitzvah. So you hear about it on Shabbos morning, she says she swears not eating on Tuesday, you'd be allowed, Allah HaMaisa, that's how we pass, and you'd be allowed to be made for that neder. Now the Mishnah continues, the Mishnah said, V'nishalman neder, you're allowed to look from a chacham to be able to find a Pesach. He finds it, do you really regret it, and things like that. Would you have done it? Had you known about it? You're allowed to do that on Shabbos. And where it says, Ibailahu. This question is, when is this though? Let's say I made a neder on Friday morning and I say I'm not going to eat it on Tuesday. So I had all Friday afternoon to think about the fact that this was a really bad idea. Sorry, that's the only answer on Shabbos. So I make a neder on Friday morning that the person, Reuven makes a neder on Friday morning. So he's Reuven. Like Reuven makes a neder on Friday morning that he's not going to eat on Shabbos morning. Maybe not going to Shabbos morning. So he had the whole 10 hours of Friday morning to figure out till Shabbos was starting that this was a really bad idea. But he didn't. He didn't think about it. So the shaila is, do we punish him? Do we say that? Because only if you make the neder on Friday night, you say you're not eating Shabbos morning. So that makes sense because then you had no other time to do it. So you can look for the chacham and do the Pesach and he can be made for the neder. Or in this case, though, since I had 10 hours of Shabbos, maybe I should assume that I should be machmer and you should not be allowed to be made for the neder to uproot the vows. So the Gemara says, Tashma, we're going to learn a proof that Askele Rabbanim rather Rav Zutta the commentary of Rav Zera. So once happened that the Rav Zutra, the son of Rabbi Zera, he had a neder, Vishar Rav Neder, and he left it, and it was before Shabbos. Even though he had a time to to do it before Shabbos. He didn't get around to it for whatever reason. He realized that he didn't want to do it, and yet they still did the Afarsinah. So you see that Allah Lamaisa, even if a guy made it before Shabbos and had enough time to take care of it, for whatever reason he didn't have a chance to take care of it, obviously the Chafila, Mr. Brewer points this out, that the Chafila, for sure, you should still be Machmir to try to not do this and take care of it on Shabbos, do it before Shabbos. But if you forgot, we don't penalize you to assume you're not allowed to. That was the whole suffix of the Gemara. The Mishnah continues, the Mishnah says, Shepakos Amar B'Tfiach V'Kashos Amar B'Kedah B'Gemi. They're discussing over here where they close the window with this Klei Charis over here, the tie there with Razim. What exactly happens? And we're not discussing this. Amar Avidam Arav. Ha'alik Tana Aisa B'en Shebeis Avdeh. There was once a, there's like a narrow alley between two houses. V'Tuma Aisa Shama, and there was a Tuma in the area. Turning on to the next Amar. V'Gigis Saduka Munachas Adam. And they had a cracked barrel over there between the two houses over the Nifter, over the dead body. And Upaka goes to more betafiach, and they close the window with a clay charis over here, the earthenware flask, to make sure that when they're dead, the tumor wouldn't come into the house. The kashrus and makdeta megemi, and they tied this clay charis with a reed to make sure that it doesn't go through the tumah. Leidam yesh bagigis poseach tefach ibav, to see if there was the size of a poseach tefach of the barrel to let the tumah go out. So now the halacha is, to give a background over here, is the halacha is that we have the concept of an ohel. An ohel is literally a roof, a tent, a housing of a dead body. So halacha is that it's not just the fact that a mace, it creates a tumah to anyone who touches it, but even an ohel, anything that was in context under the same roof as the niftar, as the dead body, is going to become tameh. So even, let's say, you have a knapsack on the ground, and there is a roof above the dead body, and it's not touching the knapsack whatsoever, but that knapsack becomes tameh because of ohel. So the shayla over here was, so the din of the ohel is that the ohel creates this overhang, and it's going to create the tumah, like I mentioned in the case of the knapsack. So, but if the halacha is, the Torah tells you that the Gemara learned out, or is it Beferish from the Gemara, or the Pasuk, whatever it is, the din is that if you have the shear of a poseach tefach, if there's an opening of a tefach size, maybe halacha boshinai, that it, within this ohel, within the top roof part, then the halacha is that it no longer can transmit the tumah to the knapsack. So here they wanted to know if that was the case. They wanted to know if when they, because this barrel itself was the ohel, was on top of the dead body, and it would make the tumah go into it. They had an open window there as well, and go even into the window. That's the halacha. If there wasn't this poseach tefach, if there wasn't this opening, it would create a whole mess for them. So they were checking to see if they had this amount of the tumah to go out. That's what the Gemara is relating, why they had this, and they're checking the size. That's why we're mentioning over here that, and also they, we learn that from here as well, that they were temporarily closing it up, and that also wasn't an issue of stira or binyan on doing that on Shabbos. So now, that's what we learn along the lines of what we learn over here for the guards of tumah. So now the Gemara says, that's what we learned from over here, that you are allowed to do those things on Shabbos because it was a temporary knot which they tied, and they also closed the window over there, and that wasn't a problem of binyan and stira either. So now the Gemara continues one last story. Ula ikla lebe resh kalusa. Ula went to the resh kalusa, the end of the bavel, right? A very powerful position. Chazda the rabbi barhuna. He said, Rabbi barhuna, diyasev ba'avnin de maya v'kam mashachla. He was sitting in a tub of water and he was measuring it. So we see that measuring is us for the Amar lei, Amar de Amir Rabbanan, Medida mitzvah, de la mitzvah miyamar. But wait a second, measuring for the purpose of not a mitzvah is usr. Amar lei misasek be'alman. He says, no, I was just simply doing something without thinking about not measuring. And since I wasn't paying any attention to it, Rashi says, that was not a problem, and I didn't do any halachic issues, I didn't violate any halacha. That's what he pointed out over here. Does someone want to point out, there's a big shayla about a klishma left a heter, right? Using a fork and a spoon for no purpose whatsoever. So is there a shayla just like fiddling around with your hands? Is that okay? So that's a shayla. So someone to bring from here, maybe that's a raya that it's okay. Over here he says that he was just playing around with it, and here he's doing a medida, and we sound like if you're just playing with something, it's not necessarily paying attention to it, it wouldn't be an issue with that either. So they say, no, here, dafka the tub, you're not allowed to think of Torah. Since you're not allowed to think of Torah, that's why dafka was doing that over there. Okay, either way, we see from here that if you weren't actually in kavana of measuring, there might be actual special heterim, and not assume that there's an issue with that. We finished the second to longest Masechet and Shas. So everyone should be very proud of yourself. Everyone who finishes the Masechet now, that is a very big accomplishment. You should make a very big seal. We saw Abaye for the Talmidim of the Beis Medrash made a very big party for them. So Kol Shekein us, in our door, I think it's a very special thing to make a very big party. We all, I think, you don't realize this. Like, there's 9 days of whole hetzer to meet because you're supposed to be making a very big party. So kol shekin now, I think everyone who finished right now, invite your friends, make a barbecue, do something very big. You should celebrate it. You're very, very, very proud of your accomplishment. It was a very big thing that we finished the whole tefillah. The way we say tefillah. That the Kadosh Baruch Hu only thought about the whole world when he created the whole world is for the purpose of Shabbos. We've seen Lechadodi, that idea that Hashem creates the whole world for Shabbos. So we just finished all Masechta Shabbos. We realize that Kal Yisrael and us is the reason why Hashem created the whole world. We should have a great Simcha. With that, I wish everyone in Mazel Tov and Mirtz Hashem, we will pick up tomorrow's daf with Erev and Daf Beis tomorrow.